We're at the Hogemeyer Hybrids Homecoming Field Day near Hupper, Nebraska. We're going to talk with the keynote speaker here, Dr. Michael Bolci from Purdue University, ag economist. And Dr. Bolci has some interesting comments today, and one that I wrote down here was that you don't think that we're going to see a farm bill in 2012.
I just think Congress is going to be preoccupied with too many other things when they come back, both from their fall break as well as after the election in terms of the lame duck session. So the Senate has got through the process. House has not been able to do that. The leadership of the House doesn't want the farm bill, to be frank, coming to the discussion because there's some parts of it that are not necessarily what they like or want. Boehner doesn't like the dairy provisions of the House version. And I think there also is a feeling of the vulnerability with respect to the significant 16, as I recall, million-dollar cut in SNAP payments or food stamps. That fuels in this political climate, that fuels the debate about the sensitivity or lack thereof of the Republican Party to the current economic financial crisis of people. And it kind of provides another part of the discussion for Obama and others to say, see, told you the Republicans don't care for the common man. They are not even, they're going to take food stamps away from them. So I think that for those two reasons, at least, it's going to be hard to get that bill onto the House floor to debate. So my expectation is that somehow we'll get some form of an extension.
We've heard people say that pushing it back into 2013, when dollars could be even tighter, may not bode well for agriculture then.
I think that's exactly right. That's why the leadership of the agricultural commodity groups, as well as the leadership of the House and the Senate on the Ag Committees, has been wanting to move that through this year. And I think they are worried about the baseline budget being smaller for agriculture next year. In addition to that, I think there's going to be another budget issue. My expectation is that either the private sector, but more likely the government, is going to have a significant exposure under the crop insurance bills or provisions. So the indemnities are going to be significant for this year's crop. And that's going to put additional budget pressure on the debate, because there will be some people who will say, you know, first we got a budget problem, and now we had to put more money out for agriculture under the crop insurance last year than we planned to, and now you want us to continue to support this industry? Come on, what are we doing here? So I think it's those two will be interconnected next year, and that's going to make this a very, very contentious discussion and debate.
Speaking of crop insurance, you mentioned that you think it's going to cost a lot more next year, and maybe the coverage might not be as generous.
Yeah, and that's pure speculation on my part, but let's just kind of think about it. I mean, we have significant losses, right? Significant. Somebody is going to have to pay large indemnities for the losses that we're going to incur this year, either private insurance companies or the government, right? And so if the private insurance companies have to pay, the normal response of a private company is to say, you know, we've seen it happen in hurricanes, tornadoes, and other natural event disasters. They typically raise the rates the next year. Now, there may be restrictions that the government imposes on them in terms of raising those rates. I fully appreciate that. But they are going to be trying to recover those losses, right? And on the other hand, if the government ends up having to pay a large part of these indemnities that are going to have to come, that's then going to fuel the debate on in terms of how much financial support should we provide for the agricultural sector. And there's already proposals out there to restrict access to, so put equivalent to payment limitations on crop insurance subsidies. You know, there is even some discussion about, okay, what we do is cap the indemnities. So right now the indemnities are basically uncapped. So maybe we say, okay, we'll only pay, kind of like hail insurance, we'll only pay so much per acre. So I think it's going to be, how this will all transpire in terms of what the results will be, I don't know, but I can't help but believe that we're going to have discussions and debates about this. And my viewpoint is that one should position themselves for having either higher insurance premiums or a less attractive crop insurance program next year.
The higher prices we've seen here because of the drought, you mentioned that it's causing other countries around the world, other regions around the world, to bring more farmland into production and could present some challenges down the road?
Well, in the last 6 years, we've had 123 million acres of new land brought into production in the world. 30 of that has been in the last year. This land, and only 3% of that new land has been in the U.S. So it's been in South America, both Brazil and Argentina. It's been in China. It's been in Asia generally. It's been in the Black Sea area, the Ukraine, former Soviet Union, and the Ukraine, etc. The point is, these very high prices encourage, incent people to bring land into production that wasn't in production in the past. And my belief is that with the kind of corn and soybean prices we've got now, we could very well see another 30 million acres come into production this next year around the world. We already are expecting at least 15% more soybeans to be produced in Brazil this next year. That won't be all new lands probably, but we're just these high prices encourage increased supplies.